جوج وحد حسو نبو تشيل أتلما مو تشيل أتلوك عاس تسمل. Hello everyone, today is July 4th, 2020, Saturday. I'm going to start by talking about the hard resonance. This is the last class of sounds from the alphabet that we haven't done a deep dive into yet. We're all looking at the East Berkeley Sound version of the alphabet summary handout. I'm looking in section 2, which organizes the sounds of Nuchanoth by place and manner. The sounds of Nuchanoth can be divided into two main groups, consonants and vowels. Vowels are the singable sounds of the language, and they determine the number of syllables. The number of syllables in a word is equal to the number of vowels. Consonants come between the vowels. There are three main kinds of consonants in Nuchanoth: plosives, spirants, and resonants. Plosives consist of a brief moment of silence followed by a release, pa, ta, tla, ka, ka. Spirants consist of constant hissing noise, sh, 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 ha. Resonants are the most vowel-like consonants. Resonants involve vibrating vocal cords, that is, the voice is resonating while we make resonant sounds, which is where their name comes from. We've talked about the fact that only some consonants in Nuchanoth can be glottalized, plosives can be glottalized, and resonants can be glottalized, but spirants and vowels are never glottalized. We've talked about the difference between plain plosives and glottalized plosives. The difference is that glottalized plosives have a stronger release, and plain plosives have a weaker release. That stronger release in glottalized plosives is created by closing the trapping air in the mouth, by closing the vocal cords, and then flexing the voice box in order to increase the air pressure so that there is a stronger explosion when the plosive is released. Glottalized resonants are different. Resonance, the air never stops flowing during resonance. So there's no explosion to make stronger. So how can a resonant be glottalized? The answer is that it's quite different from the glottalization of plosives. But what resonant glottalization and plosive glottalization have in common is that they both involve the glottis, that is, the space between the vocal cords. In Nuchanoth, the way that the resonants are glottalized is basically by putting a glottal stop before them. Sometimes we call this a catch, but it's basically a glottal stop. A plain resonant sounds like ma ma. Ama, ama. A glottalized resonant sounds like ma, 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 ma. What you hear is the closing of my vocal cords. When I close my vocal cords, that creates a glottal stop. And in a glottalized resonant, like hard M, hard N, hard Y, or hard W, that catch always comes at the beginning of the sound. Let's pronounce the alphabet example words for our plain resonance and our glottalized resonance, and this will help us to learn to distinguish them. Starting with plain M, ma-mati, ma-mati. Hard M, ma-miksu, ma-miksu. Pay special attention to the difference between a plain M and a hard M. The hard M, the voice continues through the hard M. It does not stop. Whereas with the hard, through the plain M, the voice continues through the plain M. But when we get a hard M, the voice stops momentarily. Ma miksu, ma miksu. Plain M, ma mati, ma mati. Hard M, ma miksu, ma miksu. Go ahead. Our example word for plain N is nunuk. Nunuk. Our example word for hard N is hu-ni. Hu-ni. Nunuk. Nunuk. Hu-ni. Hu-ni. Our example word for plain W, wi-ak. Wi-ak. For hard W, su-wa. Su-wa. Plain Y, yacha, yacha. Hard Y. See ya. See ya. The words see ya and sutwa are very common words and frequently confused because they sound so similar, right? See ya, sutwa sound very similar, but they mean different things. See ya is I or me, sutwa is you. The way that I like to practice this, anytime I see someone having trouble telling sitya and sutwa apart, I tell them to say the words over and over again and point at the person you're talking about. Sitya, I'm pointing at myself. Sutwa, I'm pointing at you. Sitya, sutwa, sitya, sutwa, sitya, sutwa. Every time you mix that up, do this exercise. Sitya, sutwa, sitya, sutwa, sitya, sutwa. Eventually, you won't make the mistake anymore. Some people like to point out that the word siya has an I in it and the word suwa has a U in it, but I don't think that's a very good trick for really understanding the language. Whereas pointing while speaking is, because that establishes a link between Nunchaknoth language and meaning without using English. I will finish this short lecture on the glottalized resonance by reviewing all of the plosives and resonant consonants in Nunchaknoth. So we're going to practice the plain and glottalized version of every plosive and of every resonant. And this will help us start to recognize the difference between plosive glottalization on the one hand and resonant glottalization on the other hand. Starting with the C's. Plain C, tsapin, tsapin. Hard C, tsawak, tsawak. In Nunchaknoth, tsawak has a long vowel in the second syllable and it is stressed on the second syllable. Tsawak. Short long. Tsawak. Plain C wedge. Chakup. Chakup. Hard C wedge. Chaputz. Chaputz. Plain K. Kook. Kook. Round K. Quistoop. Quistoop. Hard K. K-in. K-in. Hard round K. Quis. Quis. Plain lambda. Tlamma. Tlamma. Hard lambda. Klisuk. Lisuk. Plain M. Ma-mati. Ma-mati. Hard M. Ma-miksu. Ma-miksu. Plain N. Nunuk. Nunuk. Hard N. Hu-ni. Hu-ni. Plain P, Pawats. Pawats. Hard P, Puppy. Puppy. Plain Q, Kawi. Kawi. Round Q, Quinny. Quinny. There are very few hard Q's in Nunchaknoth. As we've seen, the hard Q is basically the pharyngeal stop. When Q hardens, it generally becomes a pharyngeal stop. Plain T. Tup-kuk. Tup-kuk. Hard T. Tatus. Tatus. Plain W. Wiuk. Wiuk. Hard W. Sutwa. Sutwa. Plain Y. Yacha. Yacha. Hard Y. Sitya. Sitya. This concludes the lecture on hard resonance. We have now gone in detail through every class of sounds in the alphabet. Please share any clarification questions you might have at this point about hard resonance or about any letters of the alphabet. A significant issue in Nuchanalth, especially for English learners of Nuchanalth, is how to say and. You would think that and is one of the simplest words, and in English it is really. The English word and is very flexible and is one of our most common words. I think it's one of the top 20 most common words in English, possibly in the top 10. But Nuchanalth, first of all, does not say and nearly as much as English does. So one of the things you have to learn as a learner of Nuchanalth, a person learning Nuchanalth as a second language, is not to say and so much. English speakers say and too much when they're speaking Nuchanalth. As a general rule, if you're not sure whether or not to say and in Nuchanalth, don't, because you usually don't need to. That's one problem, that Nuchanalth says and a lot less than English. The other problem is that Nuchanalth has several ways to say and, depending on the context. And this is difficult for English speakers because English has only one and that we use for everything. There are three main meaningful parts that we use in Nuchanalth to mean and. One is the word oh ish. In some dialects, it's pronounced oh ish, short long, oh ish. In other dialects, it's pronounced short short, oh ish, oh ish. And in Barkly Sound dialects, it can also be shortened to just ish. Those are all the same word. Those are all different pronunciations of the same word. Oh ish, oh ish, ish. This is one of the words for and. Another word for and is ah-a-at. Ah-a-at. Ah-a-at, means and in the sense of and then, like he got up. And then he brushed his teeth, and then he had breakfast, and then he went to work. We would use ah-a-at in each case to link those events. But ah-a-at can also be used as a generic and to link almost anything. The third and is the ending tla. Unlike oh-ish and ah-a-at, tla is an ending. It has to go on the end of some word. An example is when I introduce myself in Nuchanalth, I sometimes mention my English name and my Nuchanalth name, and I might say, Okla mah Adam. Okla mah tla, please tlisa upt. I'm called Adam, and I'm also called please tlisa upt. Okla mah Adam. Okla mah tla, please tlisa upt. Notice that the tla goes on the first word of the second thing. Whenever we say and, we're linking a first thing and a second thing, right? Oh ish and ah-a-at go between the two things, just like English and does. But tla is an ending. It goes on the end of the first word of the second thing. And if you don't get that yet, don't worry about it and just stick with oh ish and ah-a-at for now. The main problem with oh ish, ish, is that it is very restricted in use, at least in conservative Nuchanalth. In conservative Nuchanalth, oh-ish, oh-ish, ish is used only to join people and things. It is not used to join actions or sentences. It is only used to join people and things. So we can say, for example, Adam oh-ish chisma, Adam and Della, Adam oh-ish chisma. We can say, sashtup oh-ish mamati. Animals and birds, sashtup oh ish ma mati. But we would not say in conservative Nuchanalth, I got up, oh ish, I brushed my teeth. Oh ish in conservative Nuchanalth is not used to join anything except for people and things. Now, this is changing under influence from English. Because English uses and so much, people are always trying to translate it into Nuchanalth, and I am more and more hearing people using oh ish in a very general way, just like the English and. But this is a new pattern, an innovative pattern. Generally speaking, the safest and to use is ah-a-at. Ah-a-at is appropriate in more contexts than oh-ish is. So if you really want to say and you're not sure which one to use ah-a-at. Ah-a-at can be used in all of the contexts that oh-ish can be used and more. Tess points out people saying "oh" instead of "oh ish." As far as I can tell, that is also an innovation. It is a new abbreviation of "oh ish." I do not hear elderly speakers saying "oh" for "and," but I do hear lots of younger speakers doing that. So that seems to be a innovation in progress. We have a question about spelling. Charlotte, what exactly do you want the spelling of? True. Those of you listening to this recording will not see the spelling, but I'm sharing it with the callers in the chat. These are the spellings of oh ish ish. This is the "and" that in conservative Nechanoth is only used to join people and things. This is the spelling of ah-a-at, which is the most general "and." And this is the spelling of tla, which is that "and" ending. Tla has a week-long vowel, so it has a long vowel only when it comes after a one-syllable stem. So usually the vowel of tla is short, as in okla mah tla tlis tlisa apt. I am also called tlis tlisa apt. There's one more word that we could include in a discussion of "and," which is upas. Upas means with a person, that is in the company of a person. So upas means that you are hanging out with someone, you're doing something with them. And in some northern dialects, it also is the word for friend. So in Cayucat dialect, for example, upas means both with and friend. And sometimes it is used for "and." So if we said something like Della and Randy Lee went shopping together, we could use upas as the "and" because they're hanging out together. We just had a question about oquink. Oquink is a more generic word for with. Oquink means with in the sense of it's closer in meaning to the English word with. It can mean a person with another person. It can also mean to be romantically involved with someone. It can mean living with someone. Whereas upas is a much more specific kind of with. It means hanging out, one person hanging out with another. That concludes this brief lecture on words for "and," unless we have any more questions. Hinnatinius has just shared with us that she learned from two of her elders that ah-a-at is more common in their dialect, the Huet dialect, than oh-ish. And I think that's true of every dialect. Maybe we should even be teaching ah-a-at as the first "and," because it is much more common than oh-ish. In units 8 and 9, we've started to look at the distinction between continuous aspect and complete aspect. In unit 8, we're making simple sentences about what people, animals, and vehicles are doing. The man is walking, the car is going. For those sentences, we generally want verbs in the continuous aspect: going, walking, running, playing, flying, and so on. In Unit 9, we're learning how to make simple commands: stand up, sit down, go to sleep, wake up, stand up, pick it up, drop it. For these commands, we usually want verbs in the complete aspect: do it and be done, or start doing it. Yesterday, we looked at these six pairs of action words, each one in two different aspects, each one in the continuous and the complete. Let's go through these again. Starting with continuous aspect, qua up. Qua up, doing. We can compare this to complete aspect, quis, which means to do and be done. Quis. Su, holding it, is continuous aspect. Su. Its complete aspect partner is suquit. Take it, pick it up, and be done. Suquit. Wawa means saying, continuous aspect. Wawa. Wa is to say and be done. Wa. Mata, flying, continuous aspect. Mata. Matshit, start flying. Matshit. Nunuk. Singing. Continuous. Nunuk. Nu-itl. Start singing. Nu-itl. Yatsuk. Walking. Yatsuk. Yatshitl. Start walking. Yatshitl. These, the continuous aspect forms are the ones we would use to make Unit 8 type sentences. Su ma ha'wlatli. The young man is holding it. Su ma ha'wlatli. Wawa ma ha'kwatli. The young woman is saying it. Wawa ma ha'kwatli. Matama mamati. A bird is flying. Matama mamati. Nunukma chakupi. The man is singing. Nunukma chakupi. Yatsukma chimsi. The bear is walking. Yatsukma chimsi. The complete verbs are the ones that I would usually use to make commands. Pick it up. Sukui. Pick it up. Sukui. Wei. Say it. Wei. Machi'i, start flying. Machi'i, you could say this to your pilot if he's taking too long to get off the ground. Machi'i. Nu'i'i, start singing. This is what the song leader would say to the singer he's training. Nu'i'i, start singing. Yatshi'i, start walking. You would say this to someone who you want to start exercising or you want to leave, to get up and go. Yatshi'i. You'll notice that some of the complete forms mean do and be done. So quit and wa are of this type. So quit means pick it up and be done. Wa means say it and you're done. Other complete forms mean start doing the continuous action. Machit means to start doing whatever mata is. Nu-it means to start doing whatever nunuk is. And yatsit means to start doing whatever yatsuk is. We'll come back to this point. One other thing, you'll also notice that I use English ing forms as code for continuous aspect. The distinction between continuous and complete is the most important aspectual distinction that we have to learn in the language, and it's impossible to translate into English precisely, but I may give a rough translation of the aspect in English using ing. When I use ing in the English translation, that is a clue that the Nuchonalth verb is in the continuous aspect, holding, saying, flying, singing, walking. If I don't use ing, that's a clue that the Nuchonalth word is in the complete aspect, take, say, fly, sing, and so on. Let's go down the page and look at example four. Now we're going to introduce a third aspect, the repetitive aspect. After continuous and complete, repetitive aspect is the next most important. In example four, I've given you four verbs that have a continuous, repetitive, and a complete form. Let's pronounce these. First, forms of the verb for rotate. Mithwa. Mithwa means rotating continuously, like a wheel on a car. Mithwa. Mithwa. Also means rotating, but in the sense of something where each rotation is meaningful. For example, when a ballet dancer is spinning around, every time she's facing us, that feels like the end of one rotation. And this is what we might describe with mithwa, because each rotation is meaningful. Whereas the spinning wheel of a car, we can't really count the rotations. So that we would usually describe as mithwa. That is the main distinction between continuous versus repetitive. The complete form of this verb is mithshit. Mithshit. That means to rotate once and be done. So if a ballet dancer does one spin, that we would describe that as mithshit. This word is also used in the story of Raven and Skate. Raven challenges Skate to a spearing contest because Skate is fat and Raven is a glutton, he hopes to spear Skate and then eat him. But the thing about Skate is that he's fat in one direction and super skinny in the other direction. So every time Raven throws a spear, Skate turns 90 degrees and the spear misses. And whenever Skate turns, we say mitikshit. He rotates. Mitikshit. Our next verb is jump. The continuous form is tu huapi. Tu huapi. Repetitive. Tu tuhua. Tu tuhua. Complete. Tuhshit. Tuhshit. This is an example of a verb where we would rarely use the continuous form. We e usually want either the complete or the repetitive. Tuchshit is what we say for one jump. If a person jumps once and then they're finished, that's tuchshit. If a person is jumping repeatedly, like they're jumping rope, that's tuchtuhua. They're doing the same thing over and over again. Tuhuapi means that someone is in the middle of jumping up in the air. Because jumping happens so quickly, we would rarely want to say this. An example of where we might say tuhuapi is if we're looking at a photograph. If we have a photograph, for example, of a deer in mid-jump, then we could say tuhuapi. But we're able to do that only because time has been frozen, right? Usually we would not use this word. Next, words for dance. Huyah. Huyah. Continuous dancing. Hulhusa. Hulhusa. Repetitive dancing. Hulshit. Hulshit. To start dancing. We just had a question about the difference that we just saw between mitwa and tuhtuhwa. Mitwa rotating, tuhtuhwa jumping. And I said that as a general rule, you need to plan on memorizing for each new verb you learn, whether it's usually used in the continuous, like mitwa, or if it's usually used in the repetitive, like tuhtuhwa. And most verbs are continuous by default, but there's a small group of verbs. For example, jumping, speaking, and sewing, which are repetitive by default. The fourth verb is speaking. Cika. Cika is continuous speaking, and this form is not used very much. The common form for speaking is cik cika. Cik cika. Complete form, tsikshik. Tsikshik. To speak or to start speaking. Out of these four verbs, rotate, jump, dance, and speak, jump and speak are typically repetitive. These belong to the small group of verbs that are usually or frequently in the repetitive form. Tsutuktukwa, jumping, tsiktsika, speaking. Mitwa is belongs to the much larger class of verbs that is usually in the continuous. Mitwa, rotating. It would only be in a specific situation that we'd want to say use repetitive mitwa. Dance is used in either. Dance in many dialects you can say either huyath or hulhutha. Some dialects prefer one over the other, but many dialects can use both words, huyath or hulhutha. Hulhutha implies that the dancer is doing the same motion over and over again. So this is more appropriate for certain types of dances, whereas huyath is continuous dancing that cannot be broken down into smaller parts. And usually you can use either one of these and it doesn't matter, but occasionally one will be preferable to the other. One more thing I'll say before finishing for lunch. I want to draw your attention to the symbols and paraphrases in example 5. Aspect is a difficult concept to grasp, and as with many things in Nuchanov, we're going from a simpler system in English to a more complex system in Nuchanov. English has three aspects, Nuchanov has five. But several tricks I've found for making it easier are first, focusing on the most important aspects. By far, the most important aspects in Nuchanov are continuous and complete. These are the ones you need to understand first. The next most important is the repetitive. For now, we're ignoring the other two aspects, which are used a lot less than these three. We're going to just concentrate on continuous, complete, and repetitive for a while. As for understanding what they mean, here's a couple of tricks that I use that some people find work. One is these paraphrases. If you're trying to understand the difference in meaning between a continuous versus repetitive versus complete form of an action word, it might help to use these paraphrases. Let's take the forms of dance. Huyash, continuous dancing, means dancing without beginning or end. That means it doesn't mean that there wasn't a beginning and there won't be an end. It just means that we're not concerned with the beginning or the end. We're only talking about the middle, the continuous dancing action. Huhutha can be paraphrased as dancing repeatedly. That means that you're doing the same motion over and over again. Huhshit can be paraphrased as start dancing. Dancing is one of the actions where the complete form means to start doing whatever the continuous one is. Compare this to holding. Su means holding without beginning or end, whereas sukwit means pick up and be done. This is why we have two paraphrases for the complete aspect. Some complete verbs mean do and be done, like sukwit and wa. Other complete aspect forms mean start doing, like huishit. And that's another thing you have to learn for each new verb you learn. Does its complete form mean do and be done or start doing? I'll say that most verbs' complete forms mean start doing. It's only a small class of verbs whose complete form means do and be done. The other trick that works for some people is the symbols that I've used here. The continuous aspect can be represented pictorially by a wavy line. It means that it's going on and we can't really break it into smaller parts. The complete aspect can be represented by a single dot. That means you do it and then it's over. That dot represents the action that you do and then be done, or it represents the beginning of the continuous version of the action. Last, the repetitive aspect can be represented by three dots. This represents the fact that a repetitive action is essentially the complete action but done several times. An example of this is tukshit tuktukwa. Tukshit is to jump once. Tuktukwa is to do that same thing, but many times in a row. That's the end of our lecture on aspect. We'll continue with your questions after lunch. Thank you for your attention. Chooch.